As we gather in worship, what can we affirm about one another?
That we are all children of God, made in the image of God.
As we grow, how will we know that truth?
We will share our love and include each other in the life and ministry of this congregation.
How will we learn of the Christian faith? And what, in turn, will we expect of each other?
We will sit together at the Lord's table, share the costs and joys of discipleship, learn and grow in the Christian pilgrimage, and declare with one voice our faith in God and God's Son, Jesus.
Then may God be with us.
God help us. Amen.
In that spirit of affirmation and connection, let us reach out with heart and hand. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you. Now share it with one another.
When you have shared enough peace and given away enough love, I invite you to please be seated. On this absolutely stunning morning, I say to you, good morning. And in the name of the one in whose spirit we gather and in whose path we follow, I bid you welcome. You are welcome here if your life currently reads like a mystery, with more answers than questions, more twists and turns than straight lines, and with an outcome yet to be discovered. For here we gather in the midst of the mysterious holy, the one for whom there are always new beginnings and yet more grace to be found. You are welcome here if your life feels ripped from the pages of a drama, with great swells of emotion, more peaks of tragedy or triumph than flat ground, all of it big and tumultuous. For here we come face to face with the author of all creation, the one who has wept over the tragedies of human history, and before whom the floods will clap their hands and the hills will shout together in joy. And finally, you are welcome here, even if your life is playing out like a romantic comedy, With love seemingly just beyond reach, small quirks of fate showing up at all the wrong times, or even if everything is somehow magically falling into place. For here, we are encompassed by the one who is love, the one who claims us as beloved unconditionally, and the one who says that we are precious in his sight. So welcome to this time when we gather to worship God, a time when we bring the story of our lives into the context of the ongoing great love story between God and creation. Welcome to each and every one of you. Normally, I would ask you to turn in and look at one another, because it is always good to see faces and smiles. Right now, though, I want you to turn and I want you to look towards the walls. More specifically, I want you to look at those windows. And what I want you to notice is that they glisten and they shine, and you could see clearly through them. For you see, yesterday, there were dozens of people who showed up here and spent the whole day doing things like cleaning every window inside and out, upstairs and down in this sanctuary, like painting the nursery, fixing the steps, cleaning the kitchen. It was a fantastic day. If you were here yesterday, would you please stand for a moment? I would like to bring your attention to this green sheet. It is filled with invitations and announcements about our life together. If there are those who have announcements to make, please come forward to this microphone that you might do so. Go ahead, Anne.
Good morning. Open Table is this week, and I need a lot of helpers. It turns out that Country Curtains is having an event on Thursday, and most of my workers actually also have or do work at Country Curtains. So I need a lot of help. So anybody who can show up from 4:30 on, 4:30, 5:30, to help serve and prep the food, serve and clean up, please, we need help. Irving's a good helper, but we can't do it alone.
It is always a joy to see so many faces of visitors here in this room. If this is your first time with us, or if we do not know how to reach out to you, there are pew cards in every pew. I would invite you to take one, fill it out, drop it in the offering plate so that we might say hello after today. Friends, there never has been, nor will there ever be, another time quite like this one. It was made for the worship of God, so let's get to it.
Our first reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Hebrews in the 10th chapter. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more."
I'd like to invite all the children who are present to come on up and join me up here so that we can talk about what Jim just told us. Come on up. Good morning. Come on, slide over here so that we're all together and you can look towards me instead of necessarily out there, because we're going to talk together. How are all of you this morning? Good. So there is a phrase that I'm sure you're familiar with. It's a phrase that says, "I know something by heart." Does anybody know what that means? Yeah, Willa.
Like you have known it for a really long time.
Okay, so that it's something that you have known for a really long time, yeah.
You have it memorized.
So it has a connotation of being memorized. Anything else about knowing something by heart? Yeah.
Won't forget it.
You won't forget it. Absolutely. I think those are all important things of knowing something by heart. Is there anything that you actually know by heart? A story or a song or a few words? What do you know by heart? What about the Pledge of Allegiance? If I asked you to say the Pledge of Allegiance, could you do that? I bet you could. What else do you know by heart? Anything? Yeah.
The National Anthem.
The National Anthem. Okay. What else? Any other songs you might know? Jakey likes to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. That's his current one that he likes. What song do you know by heart? Yeah.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I bet you both know it by heart how to sing it and probably how to play it on the piano. Yeah.
I know how to play Silent Night on my violin.
Okay. So those are all things that you can do without thinking about it. It's probably things you've been focused on for a long time. They're things that you're going to remember for a long time. So in our passage this morning, the writer of a letter to the Hebrews was actually referring to something that the prophet Jeremiah had once said. He said this. He said that God is going to make us know how to live. He's going to give us the ways to live rightly with each other, and we're going to know it so well that it's going to be written on our heart, that we will never forget it, that we will know it. And there's a couple of other things about that. One is that there's this notion that how to love one another is going to become so secondhand that it simply becomes part of us and how we live. It's connected to the very things that give us life. And finally, the interesting thing about this is that Jeremiah maintains that this love and how to be with one another isn't something like Silent Night or Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing or the Pledge of Allegiance that we have to learn. It's actually something that God's going to give us just by being with one another. And I think that's pretty cool. So as you think about all the things you know by heart, next time somebody asks you, what do you know by heart? You could even say that you know that God loves you and that you are called to love each other, because that's true. All right? Let's say a prayer before we send you off to Sunday school. Let's stand. This might be something that you know by heart, this prayer we're about to say. If it is, I invite you to say it out loud and boldly. And if this isn't something you know by heart, I invite you to listen and learn, and I invite all of you to join us. Let's pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, you can head off to Sunday school now.
Our second reading is known as Hannah's Song. These words form the prayer Hannah lifted up when she left her son Samuel at the temple to begin his service to God. Samuel would go on to be one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. for not by might does one prevail. The Lord. His adversaries shall be shattered. The Most High will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. These are the words of truth for today. Let us rejoice and be glad in them.
Please be seated. Loving God, source of light and life, oil the hinges of our heart's doors that they might open gently and easily to welcome your coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In this place, here in this place of authors and readers, of poets and listeners, of songwriters and singers, we know that vocabulary counts. What we say and how we say it matters. The words we use and the way they are woven together express not only what we think, but become a reflection of who we are. Publius Cyrus, a slave whose writings earned his freedom and the praise of Julius Caesar himself, he went so far to proclaim that speech is the very mirror of our soul. He said that as a person speaks, so he becomes. Goethe would later reflect that the limits of our language, in fact, become the limits of our universe. And then there is Eliza, the precocious 11-year-old spelling bee champ in the novel Bee Season, who proclaims that words and letters allow us to see beyond ourselves to something special, even, she says, to reach the very ear of God. And finally, the author of Luke's gospel puts it this way: out of the abundance of our hearts, the mouth speaks. It is a challenge for you and I as people of faith to be able to have and claim a vocabulary that allows us to reveal the heart of who we are, to be able to speak of and from our faith with simplicity and effectively, not just to mirror to ourselves and others the depths of our soul, but also to become who we are called to be. For as we speak, so we become. Our challenge is to find and claim a vocabulary very much like Hannah's, here fully on display in her prayer known as the Song of Hannah. But to fully know and appreciate the power and beauty and artistry of these words is to know Hannah's story. You see, Hannah waited for her entire life to have a child. The Bible says that her life was a struggle. It describes it as a life of weeping. She was bathed in the ridicule of others for her inability to have a child. And yet, Hannah somehow looked resolutely forward in hope, even when there was no hint of a future before her. Hannah honed her vocabulary. She combed the words of Scripture until those words became her words. And here in her speaking, we do get a beautiful glimpse of her soul, one steeped in hope and possibility, one that is firmly grounded in God. Here at this moment when she leaves her long-awaited and treasured son in the care and service of the divine, she breaks out in song. Here are her words, her vocabulary. My heart exults in the Lord. There is no other rock like our God. The one who raises up the poor from the dust, who lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes. The one who guards the feet of his faithful ones. These beautiful words, this rich vocabulary, flows from the abundance of her heart and from the pages of Scripture. Virtually every single word in this song of Hannah emerge from Scripture, from the Torah, or from Proverbs. It is a vocabulary that has been gifted to her and passed on to her. Words that you and I would do well to learn and know. These words of Hannah, they have borne the test of time. Virtually every word in her prayer is also echoed later in the Psalms and finally in the Gospel. It's a vocabulary gifted and passed on to us. These words in her song are beautiful and true. They are companions for our journeys. They reach beyond ourselves to something special. And yet, this morning, the vocabulary that I want us to focus on and learn include more than the words of Hannah, or even all of the words of this great book, the Bible. The vocabulary that I want to focus on today, the one I want you to develop fully and richly and hold close to your heart to be able to speak easily and simply from, is the great vocabulary of the characters who speak the words of this great book. For those characters, too, are our companions. And to know the power of the words they speak is to make sure we know their stories. Together, word and character allow us to resolutely look forward in hope when there is even no hint of a future, and to respond when that impossible new future opens before us. It is a sentiment that is particularly apt on a weekend like this one, where we imagine what has happened in Paris, where we imagine what our world is becoming there and across the globe, and we sit and think where there is no hint of the future, and yet we ground ourselves in the great story of our God that proclaims there are always new beginnings yet to be born. You need to know that it was not just Hannah's words, but her story and her temperament and her attitude to her particular circumstance that would become part and parcel of the vocabulary of another of the most important mothers in all of Scripture. For Hannah's words would become Mary's words, Mary, the mother of Jesus. In Luke's gospel, in the moment where an impossible future opens for her and the angel Gabriel tells her she will bear God's son, who will indeed be the savior of the whole world, as Mary stands in the presence of her cousin Elizabeth, she too sings a prayer that has become known as the Magnificat, a song that draws not only heavily on the words of Hannah, but also the story of Hannah. In Mary's own moment of conflicted emotion and possibility, in the midst of angels, the coming of a Messiah, and the unknown stretching out before her, Mary did not stand alone. She stood fully equipped with the vocabulary of her faith, including both the words and the character of our reading this morning. "My soul magnifies the Lord," Mary said, "the mighty one. The one who lifts up the lowly and fills the hungry with good things. The one who helps his servant Israel." Her words clearly flow from the words of Hannah. But more than that, her ability to say to that angel, "Here I am," to respond to this impossible new beginning, to live into it rather than to run away from it, was fundamentally shaped by the fact that she didn't just know Hannah's words. She knew Hannah's story. And she knew Hannah's soul, steeped in hope and possibility, grounded in God. From Hannah came Mary's vocabulary, and hopefully our own. But Hannah is not the only character, and not the only vocabulary from this great text who would make a great companion. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of characters in this Bible that we need to get to know because they will enrich our lexicon. They are characters who have already faced the wide variety of joys and pains that you and I will inevitably encounter. Characters who have stood grounded in God and community. Characters who can stand beside us as impossible futures open. Characters who can become our vocabulary. There is Miriam, freed from the bondage of captivity and limitation, who found a vocabulary of dancing and tambourine. There is David, a man who made horrible decisions, who committed adultery and even murder, and yet found a vocabulary of repentance and steadfastness to become the great king. There is an unnamed daughter facing a most unjust end to her life, who sought out meaningful time to revel in the goodness of life with cherished friends, who found the vocabulary of joy and forgiveness. There is Job, who found the vocabulary of honest complaint and yet humility in the face of which was behind him. And there is Isaiah, the one when cities were exploding and warfare abound, somehow found the ability to write some of the most beautiful and hopeful poetry we know. There is Ruth and her vocabulary of loyalty, Rachel, the weeping vocabulary of grief, Paul's vocabulary of conviction, Hagar, whose vocabulary was shaped by a voice from heaven in the midst of unfair suffering, Jacob, his vocabulary, remember, was wrestling. There was the woman who bled, and her vocabulary was solidly risk-taking. There was Joseph and his many-colored coats vocabulary of new beginnings, and then that other Joseph's vocabulary of silent, resolute support. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of characters I have not even named, whose words and story need to be our vocabulary in these difficult times, not just for their words, but for their life, their companionship, and their ability to show up and stand next to us authentically, pointing backwards and forwards and always beyond ourselves or any particular moment, no matter how good or how bad it might be. Alice Walker says this. She says that if you are silent for a long time, people, characters, she said, they just arrive and keep you company in your mind. Our challenge as people of faith is to expand our vocabulary, to get to know the people of the Bible, that they can come, arrive, and stand with us and offer their vocabulary to us in those silent moments when the fullness of life looms before us. So that Hannah shows up, Isaiah shows up, Rachel shows up, and Christ himself shows up, both in the words we yearn to hear and the presence we long to feel. Our challenge is to comb this book that we might learn its wider vocabulary, that in moments of matter, and equally that in those silent moments when we all feel terribly alone, these characters might show up and whisper their solidarity to the depth of our being. So that no matter what we face, whether mystery, drama, or even romantic comedy, our soul will become like Hannah's, steeped in hope and possibility, grounded in the God who is always expanding our vocabulary and our universe. The God who stood by Hannah and this whole cast of characters to help us see beyond our circumstance and see something special. The God who takes moments where there is not a hint of a future and crafts a beginning. The God who invites us to sing, dance, and even bang tambourines whenever and wherever life breaks out in joy. That, my friends, that is the vocabulary we desperately need to learn for these times. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. So we come to a time where we lift up our prayers, where we open the fullness of our lives before God and one another. Here in this church, we lift up both our joys and concerns that we might pray for them here in this time and in all the days to come. And so I ask you this morning, what are your joys? What are your concerns? Yeah, Harley. We lift up all those who died in Paris this past weekend. Yes, Morgan. We lift up your concerns for your Uncle Tommy, and we lift up your joy for your teacher, Miss Cindy, who is feeling much better and dealing well with her brain cancer. Other joys and concerns this morning. Yes, Judy. I have a hard time hearing, so can you say? We give thanks that your mother is healing well from her surgery and that your father and she are coping well.
The name of God is not used.
We lift up that the name of God may not be used as an excuse for evil by anyone. Other joys and concerns. Yes, Morgan. We lift up prayers for Jean, your beloved, who is recovering from an illness and is now home from the hospital. Ronnie.
Two joys. Two wonderful visits with my granddaughter in Lititz, Pennsylvania, and a reconnection with my daughter-in-law.
We give thanks that you had a wonderful visit with your granddaughters in Pennsylvania and that you have reconnected with your daughter-in-law. Other joys and concerns this morning. Then let us take a moment to let all of those joys and all of those burdens seep onto our hearts and into our minds. Great, great God, your love has called us here as we by love for love were made. Your living likeness still we bear, though marred, dishonored, disobeyed. We come with all our heart and mind, your call to hear, your love to find. We come before you this morning, God, in the wholeness of our life and our world. We have named before you our joys and our concerns, our blessings and burdens. We lift up to you the joys of recovery. We lift up to you the joys of relationship, of granddaughters and daughters-in-law, of mothers who are doing well, of teachers who are growing, and of beloved who are now back home. God, this morning we also lift up to you our burdens and our worries. We lift up Uncle Tommy. We lift up our great sin that we so often use your name in ways of hate rather than of love and healing. And God, today we lift up to you the people of that beautiful city of Paris, the city of love, a city that is mourning. Hoping. God, we ask that you grant to all leaders wisdom and peace and understanding in our response. God, we ask you to lift up all those who are left without loved ones, peace and hope in the midst of mourning. Nudge us, God, even here in Stockbridge, to reach out in love and in hope to help make this world what you would have of it rather than what we have made of it. God, we come your call to hear and your love to find. We have spoken with our lips and hearts. Let us now listen, God. Let us listen in the moments of silence for your gentle whisper, your reassuring voice, your word that creates, redeems, and offers hope, even where and when ours has faded. Speak now, God, for we are listening. Great God, in Christ you set us free, your life to live, your joy to share. Give your Spirit's liberty to turn our guilt and dull despair and offer all that faith can do while love is making all things new. And let the people say, Amen. There is a truth and a teaching that is found throughout the Bible, and it's this simple. Whatever you do, do it boldly, do it fully, and do it joyfully. Yesterday, when people came to paint the nursery, they didn't settle for beige or taupe. They boldly created it yellow, that it might have warmth. Yesterday, when people came to clean these windows, they climbed up on those sills. They got into every nook and cranny. They did it fully, that the light might shine through. Yesterday, when we took this great gift that has been given to us, we made it ready for those in joy who will use it tomorrow. So today, when you give your offering, do it boldly, imagining how your offering might bring warmth to others. Do it fully, knowing that the ministries you fund will add some sparkle to this world. And do it joyfully, knowing that whatever you give has first been given to you. It is in that spirit that this morning's offering will be given and received.
Thank you.
Great and loving God, you shower us every day with goodness upon goodness and blessing upon blessing. So it is with grateful hearts that we bring these gifts and we lay them before you. Transform these gifts, we pray, into outpourings of peace and justice. Mold them into food for the hungry and rest for the weary. Empower them to reconcile all peoples, to you and to one another. And let the whole church say, Amen. Friends, our time of worship here within these walls is drawing to a close, that we might go forth beyond them and worship our God anew. Before you go, make sure you come through those doors so that I might greet you, so that you might grab some food that has been laid before you, and that you might meet new friends and make new acquaintances. And now, before we go, let us lift our voices in song.
Thank you.
And so go now to tell the story. Tell the story with your words and with your character. And as you go, may the God of Eve and her offspring, Hannah and her children, Jacob and his sons, the God of Moses and Miriam, of David and Daniel, Priscilla and Paul, Ruth and Rahab, the God of Jacob and Jephthah, Mary and Martha, Micah and Mark, Zephaniah and Zechariah, may God bless you, protect you, and grant you peace this day and every day. And let the whole church say, Amen.